Now, as St. Paul wrote to the Romans concerning this issue of freedom from sin, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but have now obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants of uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So this interplay, freedom of choice, because we're made in the image and likeness of God, who is free and gave that freedom to us, but freedom from sin, because God is sinless and God gave us that, but we lost it as a race through the exercise of that freedom of will. As Ben Sirach says, "It was God who created humankind in the beginning, and he left them in the power of their own free choice." It was pretty risky. And some people want to blame God. As St. Paul says, you'll say, "Who's resisted his will? It's not my fault." But as the psalmist says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." I didn't ask my timekeeper to keep time.
No.
Okay. So while recognizing the value of freedom of choice, the Orthodox Church affirms that this freedom will inevitably disappear if the choices we make are in favor of evil. Evil and freedom are incompatible. And it is the ultimate irony, I suppose, we could say, that through the exercise of our free will, we can end up enslaved. But that is the truth. And once again, we can examine our own hearts and see places where that's true for us personally. All right.
Who said that?
I think it was me, but oh, that last little sentence is actually from a document that I could tell Father or Subfather Thomas. I could tell the twins here. There's a paper called, which you can find online, "The Russian Orthodox Church's Basic Teaching on Human Dignity, Freedom and Rights." It's actually a very enlightening paper. That's the first quote from it.
Would it be a Rokor, or is that a...
No, it's Mospat, as they say. Moscow Patriarch. Okay, so the Church's conception of freedom, of power, and authority. Once again, I'll read a few passages of Scripture that we'll reflect on. From the Gospel of John. "Then Jesus said to those who believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And Paul to the Romans, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And one of my favorite psalm quotation from Psalm 62, it's verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice I have heard that all power belongs to God. God said it once, but I've heard it twice. There's like an echo in my ears that all power belongs to God. We see this played out, so to speak, in Christ's trial before Pilate. And so I'm going to read a couple of passages there. There's a couple of chapters devoted to it, so we'll just read a few verses. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Because that was one of the accusations. Well, he makes himself a king. You know, we only have one king, that's Caesar. I mean, talking out both sides of your mouth. But anyway, this was one of the accusations. So Pilate says, well, so are you a king? Jesus answered and says to him, Sayest thou this of yourself? In other words, did you come up with this on your own? Or did others tell it you of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? In other words, he's saying, I don't know anything about this. See, don't quote the Bible to Pilate. He doesn't know. It says, Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered into their hands. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. Actually, that's idiomatic Greek. It means what you've said is the truth, really, is what he's saying. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty contemporary, doesn't it? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. There was nothing he could get a hold of to accuse him of. And the accusations that were brought against him made no sense to Pilate. It made no sense. You know? That's from John 18. Now, from 19. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid. You know, the responses that they're saying. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? Where do you come from? But Jesus gave him no answer. And then Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Which are you not going to even answer me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. This understanding of power, this understanding of authority, is the church's understanding. Once God has said, twice I've heard, all power belongs to God. The relationship of the church to the world is a complex one. Understanding it in all its complexity is not easy. But we do want to try to understand the Orthodox worldview vis-a-vis civil government. Does Orthodoxy prefer a particular form of government? The simple answer, no. Apologies to the royalist among you. Despite the long history of the Byzantine and Russian cooperation between church and empire, emblemized by the double-headed eagle, Since its inception, the church has lived under every imaginable form of government known to human beings, including regimes that sought to destroy both the church and faith in God, and those that have attempted to promote Christian belief and moral practice through the use of the secular power. Quite often, neither of these arrangements have been happy ones for the faithful. As the secular power intrudes into issues of doctrine and conscience, it's never beneficial to genuine spiritual life to be told by the secular authority that you must believe in God or else suffer the consequences is a tyranny. It may be with the best of intentions, but it's tyrannical nevertheless. Likewise, to be told by the secular power, you must not believe in God, is likewise a tyranny. My father, God bless him, passed away a couple years ago at 101. He said once when he was a kid, there was a film about that involved elements concerning the Russian Revolution and kind of the society that came after that. And in it, there's a conversation that takes place between, I've actually since seen the film, it was a conversation that takes place between a father and a daughter. And of course the father grew up, you know, before the revolution, and the daughter is all, you know, she's like, you know, she's a comrade for sure. And so they're talking and he's trying to reason with her about maybe, you know, she should take a different course of action in the particular situation. And he says something to the effect that, well, this would be pleasing to God. And she goes, Father, don't you know there's no God? And he says, well, okay, well, whoever's in his place now. It's like, you couldn't imagine there not being God. And so, well, whoever, you know, it's like, whoever it is. You don't want to call him God, okay, but still. Whoever it is.